Good morning, and welcome to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb, and I serve with the Mars Hill Church of Christ in Christiana, and we thank you for joining our program today. Our lesson for this morning is entitled, God's Deliverance Through Judges. And if you've been following along with our scripture reading, as I know I have, we've just finished the book of Judges. And so it's interesting to look at the book of Judges and see how God delivered his people. One of the things that we notice in the book of Judges is that this was not the best time for Israel. This was not a time when they were serving God continually. It was not a time where they were blessed. They had just come out of Egyptian bondage. They had gone into the wilderness for 40 years and wandered around. And now they had been able to come out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Now, God allowed his people to be ruled through judges. These were not kings. They were not rulers of any great standing, but they were simply judges. They would come in and they would help deliver the people. And after their death, we see that the people of Israel continually went back and forth as to whether they were serving God or whether they were serving their own pleasures. So we see that this was not the greatest time in Israel's history by any means. But God did allow them to be delivered from their enemies. And that's one of the overall themes of the book of Judges. We're going to basically do that. We're going to look at the book of Judges from an overall standpoint, from just looking at an overview. But we're going to see what lessons we can learn from the people of Israel in the days of the judges. But before we get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to study together. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us and our understanding of your word. Help us to apply it to our lives and to our understanding of you. We pray, Father, that you would be with us, that you would care for us, wise guard, guide, and protect us. We thank you for your Son, the one that you gave to die on the cross for us. And it is through Jesus that we pray. Amen. As we begin this overview of the book of Judges, I want to begin in Judges chapter 2. If you would turn there with me and follow along. And here we have a very good description of the book and what it is, what it's about, and why these people were in the rule of the judges. But in Judges chapter 2, we begin with verse 11, and it says this: Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked, in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, "Because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord, to walk in them as their fathers kept them, or not." Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. As we look at the book of Judges, I think we see that this was not the best time for Israel. This is not a highlight where we see them continuously serving God for many years. What we see is a people that is heavily influenced by their leadership. Now we see that God delivered them. He would give them these judges. These judges would come and they would help them defeat an enemy, and the people would serve God as long as the judges would serve God. And then when those judges would pass away, or even when the judges would turn away from God, at least to some degree, so did the people. God delivered them, but it was only for a time, and the people would eventually go back into serving their own pleasures. The latter part of verse 19 says, "They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." We see that they played the harlot, as it's described here. They would serve God for a time, but then they would go to other nations. They would serve other gods. They would transgress his commands. And it was a constant process. As we go throughout the Old Testament, we see it was a constant process of going back and forth, serving God for a time, and serving other nations or other gods. Even through the time of the kings, even through the time of the prophets, and everything that they went through, even the time of captivity, we see that the people were constantly going back and forth. We often see the people of Israel referred to as sheep. And I think there's very good reason for that, because they acted like sheep. They were good at following, but they weren't good at leading. They would follow the good leaders, but they would also follow the bad. And we see a lot of that even today. We see it in our own leaders, in our own nation. We see a time where we have certain leaders that would serve God, that would look to God very heavily, and the people were influenced by that. And now I think we see a time when our leaders don't look to God as much as they should. We see a people influenced by that. We see it in the church as well. But when we look at people, we are like sheep, very much so, and following our leaders, whichever way they go. So as we look at the book of Judges, we see a time where they go back and forth into serving God. They would turn away from God. They would turn back to God. And he would deliver them by these judges. We don't have enough time to look at all of the judges individually, but I did want to take some time to look at some of the more well-known judges and see what we can learn from them. I want to begin by looking at Gideon. If you will, turn to Judges chapter 6. And here we begin reading about Gideon. There are a couple of major stories that we find in Judges, and Gideon's is one of them. But in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, it says this: "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" This is not the only time that we read of God telling someone who they would become. I think of Moses. Whenever we look at Moses, he was reluctant to lead Israel. He was reluctant to lead God's people out of Egyptian bondage. But God told him that he would do it. And he did it. He constantly grew in the process, and I believe that he grew into being the leader that he was. Now, was he perfect? No. But I do think that he was perfect for the job. He had great patience with the people. He pleaded with God on their behalf many times. He was the right man for the job. And now we come to Gideon, and we see very similar words. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." What was Gideon doing? We see that Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress. He's trying to hide it from the Midianites. And just from looking at this very introduction, I don't necessarily see a man who is ready to fight against the people. I don't see a man that's ready to lead a people out of the hands of their enemies. But what I see is a man who's still in his father's household, and he's serving him, and he's trying to hide from the people that have them captive. And the Lord comes to him and says, "I'm with you, you mighty man of valor." He's telling him who he is. Does Gideon believe him? "Where have you been, Lord? What's happened to us? Why have you allowed all of these things to happen to us?" And God tells him, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" God was sending Gideon to do his bidding, and Gideon would lead the people. And we see that it wouldn't be by some great and mighty army, but we're going to see that God delivered them with an army, a very small army, a very small number of men. But God is going to deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. Let's look at chapter 7. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Judges 7, verse 1. "Then Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, "and all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Have you ever heard of such? Have you ever heard of an army that was too mighty, too many men, too great to defeat its enemies? Only from the standpoint of God being with them was this army too great. That's easy to look through the eyes of our humanity. And whenever we see going to war, we need to have an army that's bigger than our enemies so that we can defeat them. But God was showing his people that he was on their side. And as long as God was on their side, they had nothing to fear. It would be easy to look at a large army going against their enemies and saying, "Yes, we did it. We did this. Look at what we have done." But when they look at a small army and see how they've overcome their enemies, they have to see through the eyes of God. What a great God we have. That he has led us out of bondage. That he has led us out of the hands of our enemies. God knew that they needed to see him in the battle. And this was his way of showing them that he was with them. Verse 3, "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." All right, now we've got an army of 10,000 left. That's still a fairly good number. And that's probably enough to defeat this army of the Midianites. But we read in verse 4 that God was not pleased with this number either. Verse 4 says, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And who, of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place.' So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley." Now what we read in the following verses is that these men were divided into groups, and they were set in groups around the camp of the Midianites. And when they all shouted, and when the horns were blown, and all this great commotion happened among the people of Israel, the Midianites basically defeated themselves. Because we read that each man turned on his fellow man, and they basically defeated themselves. They ran off. They ran away. God made it seem like there was this great army around them, that they were surrounded, when in fact it was a smaller army. But still, Israel overcame. Now, we also read that Gideon was not always continuously faithful. We see that an ephod was made, and things were done that displeased the Lord. But overall, we see that God took care of them. He cared for his people, and they cared for him in the time of Gideon, at least most of the years of Gideon. And then when Gideon passed away, we see that the people turned again into their idolatry and serving other gods and things of that nature. But other judges would come along, and one of the more notable judges, and really the last of the judges that we find, is Samson. Samson was a great judge. He was a mighty, mighty man. We see that he was able to do many great things with his great strength. And God used him to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. We read of the birth of Samson in Judges chapter 13. Judges 13 and verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" So we see that from Samson's birth, we see that he was a very special child. He was given, or his parents were given, special instructions as to how to care for him. You see, there was not to be any kind of cutting of his hair. There was to be no razor that would touch his head. He was going to be basically set apart in the eyes of God. And God had told them that he would deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Samson was very special, but as we look at his life, we see that he made some very bad decisions as well. And it's one of the things that has always puzzled me as to how God would deliver his people through the hand of Samson. We see that he was able to do some mighty things, but he's also heavily influenced by women, and one in particular named Delilah. And we see that Delilah was able to eventually get his secret for his strength out of him. And when she found out his weakness, she told the Philistines. The Philistines came and they cut off the locks of his head, all of his hair. One of the things that God had used to set him aside from other people was taken away. Now, God took care of Samson on many occasions, but eventually he was delivered into the hands of the Philistines. Now, how is God going to deliver his people from the hand of the Philistines through Samson, as he promised, if Samson has fallen to his enemies? Let's look at his final act. In Judges 16, verses 23 through 30, "Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, 'Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead.' So it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may perform for us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, 'Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I can lean on them.' Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may be with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes,'" the two eyes they had put out. Verse 29, "And Samson took hold of the two pillars, middle pillars, which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistine.' And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life." God allowed him his strength to kill the Philistines, to destroy a great number of that people that were watching him, mocking him, and ridiculing him. God kept his promise and delivered the people through the hand of Samson. Overall, we see many occasions where God delivered his people. But we see just throughout the book of Judges that God delivered them through the hands of the judges, through the might, through their strength, and through their service. And the people were influenced for the good while under their rule. I hope that we've learned a little something about the judges. I hope the lesson has been interesting to you. And I hope that you'll be back with us as we study another portion of God's Word together next week, Lord willing, Tuesday at 10 a.m. Until we meet again, may God bless you.